Good afternoon. It is a Thursday. Oh my goodness gracious, we are getting closer and closer to Easter. Thursday, March the 29th, 2018, 3:29:18, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you, and we have got a barrel to talk about today because we have not done open phone lines in a long time. So the next 2 hours will be completely open phone line talk, and Terry Tackett joins me in studio, and we are also going to be joined by a guest here momentarily. Terry, before we get to our guest, how's life?
Oh, great.
Having a good time?
Yes, I am.
And we've got a lot to talk about
today.
Yeah,
there's a lot in the barrel, as they say.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on here in Ohio. There's a lot going on. And I think we're getting our guest here, so I'm going to turn down Terry's mic, let him take control there for a second, and we will see if this is our special guest, which I think it very well might be. Remember, WWGH is streaming live on the internet. You should never forget that. At WWGH1071.com. You can hear us all over the world or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Now, I'm always pleased to welcome our first guest to these microphones because in a year where the gubernatorial race here in Ohio is highly exciting, because any way you look at it, we're going to elect a new governor coming up this November. But before that, we have two hotly contested primaries as we head into May, just a little over a month away from now. Holy moly. And on the Democratic side, we're learning now that Rich Cordray and Dennis Kucinich in some polls are running neck and neck. And on the other side, there's been a lot going on between Attorney General Mike DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, and who better to talk to than a gentleman we're always glad to welcome to these microphones. He is Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor's running mate, Nathan Estruth. Nathan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thank you. How are you?
Doing well. A lot has happened since we talked last week.
It sure has. Yeah, we're down to 40 days for one.
Well, I tell you, I want to catch the audience up here, just for people who haven't been paying attention, but there's been some interesting back and forth going on, so I'm going to read this just as I have it here, and then we'll go from there. And this is how the story was published in the Columbus Dispatch. As Ohio's GOP gubernatorial campaign descended into a back and forth about the candidate's children, Attorney General Mike DeWine said he regrets his campaign tweet calling Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor criminal and using the hashtag lock her up. This is a quote from Attorney General DeWine. I had no knowledge that it was being done, but it was a mistake that should not have happened. I do not agree with it. I have talked to my team about it and expressed my displeasure. It should have not occurred, said DeWine. A Taylor campaign spokesman responded, now this is the quote from the Taylor campaign, it looks like Mike DeWine is asleep at the wheel again of his own campaign. If Mike DeWine wants to apologize to Mary Taylor, he should stop making excuses and apologize. And this all came because last Wednesday, a new DeWine account, at Mary Doesn't Work, tweeted, this is what the tweet was, hey, at Mary Taylor, Ohio, when you abuse your power and fly around on a state plane for personal use, it's not conservative, it's criminal. Hashtag lock her up. That was last week. Boy, oh boy, Nathan, never being in a political race, this is an interesting one to be in.
Well, you can say that again, Scott. You know, it's really unfortunate, and I would say that, you know, Mike DeWine, obviously, really, if he wants to say he regrets and backs away from what his campaign did, should just call Mary Taylor and apologize, fundamentally. What we're trying to do in this race is stick to the record, because, as I think I've mentioned to you before, I like the definition of insanity, which is when you do the same thing again and again and expect a different result. That's insanity. And returning career politicians with extremely liberal records back to office, hoping they'll be conservatives, is the same. And, you know, Mike DeWine has over 42 years of a liberal voting record, from multiple votes on amnesty, to multiple votes of spending taxpayer dollars for tuition for illegal immigrants and Social Security for illegal immigrants. And he doesn't want to talk about his record. And, you know, I mentioned to Mary when he started attacking her in such a personal way, a quote that I remembered from Margaret Thatcher. And I'll just paraphrase it. She says, you know, I take heart when my opponents start to personally slander and attack me because I know that they have no political arguments left. And I think that's where we are. We're in a race that has closed dramatically in the last 4 weeks, as Mary and I have been in over 50 counties meeting with dozens of folks at each spot, talking about Mary Taylor's vision for Ohio and Mike DeWine's liberal record. And the numbers are shifting, and they see it, and they go up statewide and do that. So it is a shame they've chosen to go personal, but honestly, we'll stick to the record. We'll continue to talk these issues because they're important to the people of Ohio, and as they choose the next governor, it's so important that we have a conservative team that's ready to take it to whether it's Dennis Kucinich or Richard Cordray in November, and Mary Taylor is clearly the strongest candidate come November.
Nathan, here is one of the issues. Now, I understand we want to stick to DeWine and Mary Taylor's record, but when this stuff starts flying, which it has been doing since they were the last two left on the Republican side, I mean, referring to him as D.C. DeWine, that's not a compliment. Him coming back and, I mean, he apologized, but somebody from his campaign said, lock her up.
Did he apologize, Scott? No, I didn't hear that. He regretted that it happened.
He regretted that it
happened.
He didn't
apologize. Yeah. I mean, and I just say, just to be clear, right, do you think he really would have done that if he was running against a Jim Renacci or John Husted? Lock him up? No, I don't think so.
Well, that's...
Right? That's why he owes Mary Taylor an apology.
Well, that's... I guess this is why what my question is to you. I understand you're all Republicans. I understand one person's going to get the nomination. None of us knows who that is. Somebody is going to be the Republican nominee for governor come the fall. And the problem is, though, this has gotten so nasty. This has gotten so, and it's not happening on the Democratic side to this degree, that nobody is going to get out of this unscathed. Why, in your mind, do you think it's gotten so nasty?
Well, I've never been a candidate before, as you mentioned, Scott, so I'm probably not the expert here. But, you know, calling someone basically a career politician or referencing that they've spent, you know, more of their time in D.C., you know, of late, and voted with D.C. liberals, and citing the record, the votes on amnesty, the F-minus from the NRA, right, the fact that he has advanced and approved liberal, pro-abortion, anti-Second Amendment, anti-freedom judges again and again, right? Those are votes that people can look up and cite and see. So I think if we don't do that in our democracy, you know, if we don't, as we're having an election, actually talk about where people have been, then we're not actually doing the voters and the citizens of Ohio, you know, what is right, which is letting them make sure that they're reminded of where both sides stand so they can make an accurate, you know, assessment and vote the way that they would choose to vote at the polls.
Well,
I think the level of personal attack and vitriol that's come from the DeWine side that you just read off is unfortunate. And I think it's what happens when you actually think that because you've been coronated by 66 people in the Republican Party in Columbus, that you can just walk through and not have an election, that when it actually starts to close and becomes competitive, you react in fear and you overreach. And I think he did. And I think he does regret it now, which is why he owes Mary Taylor an apology. But we'll keep sticking to the record and we'll keep asking for debates, right? Again, you know, you and I have talked this, right? We'd love to have Mary Taylor and Mike DeWine debate the issues, but Mike DeWine continues to refuse to debate.
And
so
I think... Yeah,
go ahead.
I want to make sure I get this in because there was a little more to this. It wasn't just what we just talked about, and I want to keep the voters up to date on what's going on. There was an assertion also in a Mike DeWine ad asking what Mary Taylor had done for the last 12 years, and she said, I've done all of this work what she quoted her her record, while fighting through the hell that has been my son's fight with addiction. What have you been doing, Mike DeWine, besides handing out ice cream and recipes and building a revisionist history of your own record? And we all know that Mike DeWine has ice cream socials with his wife annually, and they distribute recipes. For the record, that's what that's about. And Republican Auditor Dave Yost, who is running for DeWine's current job, tweeted, "Every family suffers, Mary Taylor. Google the name Becky DeWine and knock it off." Of course, Becky DeWine is Mike DeWine's daughter who was tragically killed in 1993. And Taylor responded, "The good old boys network, ladies and gentlemen." Now, when you say Mike DeWine went personal, to attack recipes and ice cream socials, that's personal. That has nothing to do with an issue.
Yeah, what I would just say is, you know, if you're Mary Taylor, and instead of talking about Mary's record, like we've been doing on Mike DeWine, you get, you know, called names in TV advertising statewide. She didn't respond, right, statewide with TV. She responded with, you know, the record. And so did she have a right to get a little indignant? Yes. I think it is unfortunate to drag any family in. I would agree with that. And honestly, you know, I think if Mary chooses to talk about her own family, that's up to her. But at the end of the day, Scott, I think the real issue here for the voters to focus on is the record of Mike DeWine as a consistent liberal. And, you know, you referenced that quote a little earlier in the first exchange about him not really understanding what's going on in his campaign. You may also remember that as AG, when his office took all of the facial photographs of every single Ohioan from the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and dumped them into the criminal database and did not tell the public and did not have audits, as they gave 37,000 people access to our facial photographs in the criminal database in Ohio. And his response to the Cincinnati Inquirer was he didn't know as AG that that had taken place. He didn't reverse it. He kept it, and now he defends it. But his response back then was, "I didn't know." And so I do think there is, again, a record there of him consistently not really understanding what's going on, even in his own office. And, you know, when you've been there for 42 years, you know, I mean, I was 9 years old when Mike DeWine was first elected to public office. And as we talk about what we're facing in November, 60 years of career politicians with Mike DeWine and John Husted, almost zero private sector experience. Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruth, 40-plus years of private sector experience. I think clear and away the best choice for conservatives to win the governorship is Mary Taylor.
Want to talk about two issues here while we still have you in. One is what's going on the Democratic side, because there are new polls that show that Rich Cordray and Dennis Kucinich are running about neck and neck with 21% each. Now, one of the reasons this gap has closed up is because Betty Sutton, Rich Cordray's running mate, has a different stance than Rich Cordray on banning AR-15s. She says she's for it. Rich Cordray has an A rating from the NRA. He's not for that. Kucinich is for that. She lines up more with Betty Sutton, which is causing a big problem over there. I believe Mike DeWine's rating is C with the NRA, but Mary Taylor, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, does not want to change anything with the gun laws, that it's more a mental health issue, that she does not want to ban the AR-15s. And I think that's interesting because the Democratic race has now become a dead heat based on this issue, and Mary Taylor seems to be, I don't think she's proposed any change in the Second Amendment. Am I wrong?
No, Mary Taylor's had a consistent A rating from the NRA the entire time that she's been in public office, and Mary and I are very consistent in saying that taking away gun rights as a knee-jerk response, our Second Amendment rights, is not going to solve the issue. You know, figuring out ways to secure our buildings and help teachers and students, whether it's teachers that want to go through training to be armed or administrators, whether it's local communities that want to rely on veterans or retired police officers to do the same, we think it's really important that the state figure out a double down on already been offered to do that for those school students, administrators, and teachers. I don't know how to comment on what's going on the Democratic side. If you say that the race is tightened because of that issue, I'll defer to you on that. You know, I see, you know, always I look at it and say, don't underestimate Dennis Kucinich and honestly the just the passion of kind of the radical liberal wing of the Democratic Party. I think it has more to do with what he stands for in a Democratic primary than anything else. But, you know, it will be an interesting 40 days for sure, Scott.
Last Saturday showed that guns are a big issue. The people are turning out. They are protesting. They did in Columbus, Ohio. People are signing up to vote who have never voted before. This is going to be an issue in the main. If Lieutenant Governor Taylor gets the nomination, that's going to be a tough one because even our current governor, Governor Kasich, now has some kind of gun legislation that he would like to get through. She seems to be the most against it of any candidate, so that could hurt her with younger voters.
Yeah, I think what we need to have with our elected officials are leaders who can actually explain why they believe what they believe rather than following the flavor of the day. And honestly, the Reagan maxim of as government expands, liberty contracts comes to mind. If we had had these new laws that are being asked for restrictions on those freedoms, it would not have prevented what happened in Florida, as tragic as that was. If we had enforced the laws that we have on the books today, it could have been prevented, and that's pretty well documented. So really, the vision that Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruth bring is one of small government conservatism and why expanding the freedom for people of Ohio, for parents, for young people, for not burdening the younger generation with the debt of Mike DeWine voting six times to raise the federal debt ceiling, and Mike DeWine being the big government Republican in this race who will undoubtedly spend and increase the size of government if he repeats the record that he has in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. I think that's where the people of Ohio, the families of Ohio, you know, no matter whether they're independent, Democrat, or Republican, can respond to a conservative vision that lays out the why we believe what we believe and make it attractive again. And it's been far too long in this state or even in this country where we've had leaders that can actually articulate that positive vision of why we are conservatives and why it's the best choice for individuals and families.
Nathan,
Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruth are prepared to do that.
Nathan, before I let you go, because I appreciate these visits, but I have one more question, and we talk a little bit about this every time we talk, because and with this last cycle, it has become a lot more personal with the lock her up hashtags and the non-apologies. You did not feel it was an apology by Attorney General DeWine. When this is all done, and we've still got over 30 days to go, 40 days left, how in the world in the fall do you say, well, Mike DeWine's the best guy for the job as opposed to the Democrat, and I will still vote, I will still support Mike DeWine? Can you still say that after lock her up and a non-apology and this whole thing that has spiraled into what it has spiraled into?
Yeah. Well, Scott, first and foremost, the next 40 days, I'm focused on getting the message out of Mike DeWine's liberal record and what Mary Taylor's vision for Ohio is of ending Common Core, ending the Medicaid expansion, right, reining in government and increasing freedom. But to answer your question directly, as I've said to you in the past, on May 9th, no matter who's the nominee on the Democratic side and the Republican side, I'll wake up and make my assessment. I believe I'll still be running and working with Mary Taylor. But if it happens to be Mike DeWine, I'll certainly assess who is the least liberal of the candidates that are the nominees of the two parties, and that's how I will decide.
Are you, because at one point you said you believed Mike DeWine was. Are you unsure of that now?
Yeah, I do believe Mike DeWine is less liberal than a Dennis Kucinich, and less liberal than a Richard Cordray on most issues, although you have indeed called out one issue in which Richard Cordray sounds like flanks Mike DeWine a little bit on the right in this interview. So I'll do the whole assessment, but I do believe he's probably the least liberal of those three.
From now on, do you think it's going to get better before we part ways here? Do you think these personal attacks will stop?
Well, I can't speak for the DeWine camp, but what I can say is Mary Taylor and Nathan Estreith will continue to prosecute this race based on the records of the candidates, and that's what we will present to the people of this state. Is how did Mike DeWine vote? What did he do as an elected official? How did Mary Taylor vote? How did she lead? And what would Mary Taylor and Nathan Estreith do to advance this state, bring job creation, economic development, help tackle the opioid crisis in a way that's meaningful to individuals, families, and businesses? Those are the things we'll continue to talk about, whether it's on the air, whether it's on radios like this, or whether it's in the hundreds of meet and greets we'll do over the next couple weeks.
Nathan Estreith, the running mate for Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor in the Republican primary for governor. Thank you so much, Nathan. It's always a pleasure.
Scott, a real pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, and on that note, we will bring back in Terry Tackett here, who got to hear that whole interview with Nathan Estreith. Terry, what's the read? Let me get the right microphone up here. What is the read at this point?
Well, my take on the whole thing is that it just seems like they're going in a million different, you know, I don't know, going like almost in a million different directions to me, you know.
Has it gotten personal?
It sounds like it's gotten pretty personal here. I mean, you know, when you start talking about people's children and things like that, then.
Telephone number 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion on this, we thank Nathan Estreith for being on, as always. I don't quite understand it, because was Mike DeWine attacking her child? I think he was saying, what have you done the last 12 years in your job?
Job, yeah. I think she took that as a personal attack, maybe on her personal life, or, you know. Or,
do you think it was good to attack his ice cream socials and recipe cards?
Yeah, that probably wasn't the best thing.
Well, I mean, we're in the mud now. I mean, we are in the muck. Whether you like it or not, this Republican race is in the muck.
The elbows are sharpening now, so.
Will that make them tougher? Can they, in May, unite?
Boy, at this point, I really think it's going to be tough. I think the only way that you're honestly, I think would settle this whole thing would just be a debate. I don't know if it's going to happen, but
I don't know why there's no debates on the Republican side. Now, I've been told Mike DeWine doesn't want to debate, but I can't say that definitively because I have not spoken to Mike DeWine.
Right. I just think that you're going to keep seeing little, it may not get quite as personal as it's gotten now, but you're going to just keep seeing little digs the whole way. These next 40 days are going to be.
Is there a bit of a delusion, do you think, that guns are not going to be an issue in November?
Oh, if people think they're not going to be, they're crazy. I mean, that's going to probably be the number one topic, I would think, or pretty close to that.
Well, look at what's happening on the Democratic side.
Immediately. Yeah, you got a split there between Betty Sutton and Cordray. Yeah.
About the
AR-15 ban, right?
The AR-15.
She wants it, and he's opposed.
He's opposed to it.
Yeah.
And there was a video as such that was taken that Kucinich's campaign released.
Right.
And Kucinich has been making up a lot of ground since the shooting in Parkland.
And his stance on the whole thing has been the same the whole time, right? I mean, on this,
since the Parkland shooting.
I want to say since he threw his name.
What is going on with the Cordray campaign, do you believe?
I don't know. It just seems like almost that he's... I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it, but it just seems like he's kind of fallen in the doldrums here of, you know, of these lobbyists, I guess, you know, taking this money and, you know. And,
well, do we know he's done that, though? I don't know.
I mean, in my opinion, I shouldn't say, you know, I'm not saying it's true, but I mean, in my opinion, just from what people said, is that it's almost kind of like the roles are reversed a little bit. Like he should almost be on the Republican side, you know, maybe or something.
Well, but I think he's liberal on...
most other things.
I think it's just the gun thing, and maybe he'll change his stance before the primary. But we're down to the back 40 here.
Yeah. Now's good. Now's what the old saying is. Now's the time to make or break, you know. I mean,
it's fascinating. 740-383-9944 if you want to weigh in on this. 740-383-9944. Now, do you believe that Betty Sutton, I mean, boy, she must be in the doghouse.
How do you repair this? I mean, I would say this relationship is probably strained a little bit now.
I would think so.
I mean, because this is a major issue, and your running mate is on one side, and you're on the... I mean, is it going to be hard to get those two back? It's going to be hard to mend that fence again. I mean, you know.
Has this been the life preserver that Dennis Kucinich needed?
I think this is this might be the life preserver that he needs right here. Yeah.
Because we're quoting polls now that show them dead heat, 21%, and it's all on this gun issue. Uh-huh. Because these kids, I'm telling you, do you underestimate these kids, you are making a mistake.
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of power in numbers, and I think that they definitely had they exuberated a lot of power, you know, by that march or whatever. So
they're registering people, they're doing things, they're getting it out there, and I'll tell you what, if I was a candidate, well, you better have the right stance on this, or I don't think you're getting elected.
Right, right. You know, and I do think in my mind, I do think a lot of people are still underestimating these guys. And I mean, they're serious about this.
Oh, they are serious. You make know, no mistake about that.
You know, I just think that they're tired of it, you know, and they always seem to be the targets for some reason. And, you know, and...
oh, they're going for it.
So...
They're going
for the gusto, so to...
And is Kucinich... do you consider him fringe, which I think is what Nathan Esruth said?
Yeah.
Esruth?
Boy, that word has a lot of different definitions to me. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what his, you know, what his definition of it was. I don't think so, you know. I mean, I think he's a, you know, kind of a down-to-earth guy. He has his beliefs, and, you know, and... I don't think he's ever strayed from those beliefs. I mean,
but he certainly is very liberal, I would say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, I would say that. But I don't know. I just think that these next 40 days are going to be interesting.
Could who's if it were happening today and they were all in, who would win? Who'd be the next governor of Ohio?
I think Dennis Kucinich.
You think so? You
I
think
do.
We could have a Governor Kucinich?
I do.
Now, is that a comeuppance for the Democratic Party who did not support him? And
yeah, I think that I almost think it's like a wake up call for him. You know, I mean, I don't know what they're, you know, I don't know if how do I even how to explain this, but I don't know if it's a, like a personal thing why they didn't support him. I mean, do they not agree with his views? Is he too liberal for?
Well, he came from television. I'm telling you, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah,
it's a television world.
Absolutely.
If you have that television exposure, you got it.
You're you know, that's what we're looking for anymore, I guess. You know,
can Cordray, in your opinion, be governor?
Man, it's going to take. With all these people, they're registering and stuff, and with his rating, you know, with the A rating, I don't know if it's true, but they said he's got an A rating with the NRA. It's going to be tough.
If you were him, wouldn't you at this point, losing ground like this and having this issue with Betty Sutton, wouldn't you try to do some kind of...
I'd like to do some damage control maybe or something.
That'd
I mean,
be the
you
right
know,
word.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know... That's the thing. I don't even know how you fix it. Maybe do you just try to take their mind off that and go on to another subject or another issue, I should say. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to use the word.
I think they have another debate. I don't know when it is, but I think they do have another one coming up before the big...
maybe if you could convince them that, you know, what your position on this, which is going to be tough, and maybe, you know, tell them, I don't know, maybe if you can, like I say, maybe an issue would be education. Maybe if you can, you know, tell them where your stance on education, I don't know if that would help you or not. But
primary day will be a big day here in Ohio.
Is it just May 7th? Is that one?
May 7th, May 8th, something
Ooh,
like that.
It's going to be a barn burner.
Do you think Mary Taylor has a chance?
She does.
You do now?
I do
oh,
think
you
so.
You changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think her from the Republican side, I think her and I think Kucinich from the...
So what has changed that has made her a contender?
Well, what's made me, what's in my opinion, what's, you know, what I think is that she's really kind of never swayed from her issue, you know, her topics, I guess is maybe the word. Like she's came right in the twice or three times that you've had her on, and every single time she's talked about, you know, job create, you know, stuff like that. She's never wavered from that.
Well, don't you think DeWine has to?
Yeah.
We haven't had him on.
But it seems to me like the impression I get from him is almost like I think Nathan touched on it there a little bit, was he's more worried about promoting his record than, you know, like, what than what's going on.
Are you going to the ice cream social?
I don't think I'll be going.
I don't know that I got an invitation.
Yeah.
But where is this? I didn't realize he had an annual ice cream social.
I never heard of it before until you read that article off the...
And you get recipe cards.
And you get recipe cards. For the ice cream, or...?
No, I don't think he makes his own ice cream, does he?
I don't know.
I thought that was kind of low to hit him about the ice cream
right,
social.
Right, I agree. But at this point, it almost...
I don't know about lock her up, though. But isn't he... It sounded like an apology to me.
He definitely said he wasn't happy about it, and that he talked to his campaign people. But
he regrets it.
Mm-hmm, I still don't know. Is it a full fledged apology though? I mean, it's like you say.
What does he have to do? Get down on broken glass and crawl over there?
No, but maybe like he said, maybe like a more personal. Maybe he calls her or something.
Has she called the governor, Governor Kasich?
And that's a great point too. I just, there's a little triangle right there that's...
What do you think our governor's up to?
I don't know. Where's his stance on all this now with all this stuff going on, I wonder?
I think he's busy. He's got his own things going on out
there.
Yeah, I see. I'll tell you who has been busy is our president.
Yes.
President Trump.
He has. He's had a few irons in the fire here the last...
Well, let's talk about he and Joe Biden, first of all. Now, mm-hmm. what did Joe Biden say in a speech?
Joe Biden said he regrets saying he'd beat the hell out of Donald Trump.
And, well, Joe Biden, I don't have the quote in front of me, but I guess a few weeks ago he said if they were in high school, he would... Take him behind the bleachers.
Yeah, and now he regrets saying it, but it was something to do with a 2005... statement that President Trump had made on, I don't know if it's on Access Hollywood or something.
Now, you like Joe Biden.
I do like Joe Biden.
And you think that's good?
That's good that
he was said he was going to take somebody behind the bleachers?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to promote
physical. Is it time for these Democrats to get out there and just start talking like Trump?
Well, it seems like that's what people want these days. I mean, it's the old adage, you got to fight fire with fire, maybe. I mean, you know, it seemed to work for him, so why not?
I'll tell you what, the media, though, is too down on Trump. They got to stop being so down on him.
Yeah.
I mean, when he does something wrong, he's the president. He gets criticism like everybody else.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tell you, sometimes they are just wall-to-wall on him.
Right. I mean, it's been full bore. I mean, the last couple of weeks.
What's that girl last week? McDougal?
Janet? Was it Janet McDougal?
McDougal. What was her name?
McDougal?
McDougal.
Yeah.
Now, she had a long affair with President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have thought the Iraq war started again
exactly.
on CNN.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, yes, they should have reported it. And I tell you what, I feel bad for the First Lady. Honest to God, Melania, I feel horrible for this woman. Yeah. She's got to watch this on national television.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that struck me, and I think it's kind of going back to the other lady, the Stormy Daniels, is that what wasn't the story that Melania had just had Barron, and they had this,
oh yes, that's true. Yes,
I mean that's
but they sleep in separate rooms,
right,
apparently.
But It's a bad thing.
You know, I never thought after the Bill Clinton years when we had to talk about all this salaciousness on the air that we would be back to talking about more salaciousness on the air.
Yeah.
Why can't these people just not have affairs? Well, there somebody, who was it? Somebody the other day said that Melania should leave. Oh, Stormy, no, what's her name? S.E. Cupp. S.E. Cupp, the Republican pundit, said that Melania should leave President Trump.
Wow.
Why would she do that?
Yeah, she hasn't, I mean, I don't know if that's
See, I never understood why people said Hillary should leave Bill.
Bill, yeah.
It's their decision. If they want to stay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And not my...
Exactly. I mean,
live your own life.
Exactly.
If she's okay with it, you know, she has got her own arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in these buildings. She's got her son. She doesn't, you know, she's not around the president a lot.
I don't think, well, and also, too, I was going to say, I don't think she's hurting too much. I mean, I'm sure she's...
No, I think she's
financially
doing okay.
I'm sure she's taken care of, and, you know.
Now he's got...
She's a beautiful woman, I'm sure.
But he doesn't tweet a whole lot about these people. What do you make of that?
About what about the,
having these affairs?
All these affairs, yeah. I think maybe from a legal standpoint, maybe he's been told not to say anything. I mean, yeah.
Has that ever worked before?
No, but I just think maybe, you know.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you about any of these topics, anything going on in the Ohio governor's race, or what's going on with our president, Trump. Mm-hmm. Because heavens knows, I don't know from day to day.
Yeah. It seems like it's always something different every day.
But do you think that's the news, or do you think that's him?
I think some of it might be fabricated stories, but I think a lot of it, there's some truth to.
No, I think both. Do you think Stormy Daniels? Let's talk about Stormy.
Sure.
Stormy.
Yeah, 60 Minutes.
Ratings for them and all that. Do you think that was a... What do you make of her?
Well, I think she's definitely a publicity hound. I think she definitely wanted to get some exposure and things like that. But do I think she had this affair? Of course I do.
Oh, you do?
I mean, I think she had this affair with him, you know. I mean,
with the president.
Sure.
Do you think she's been threatened, though? That's what I keep
hearing. Well, that's the part. I've been listening every day. I've been, my dad converted over to CNN. We've been watching every day. And, boy, a guy comes up to her in a parking lot when she's with her daughter. I guess it doesn't sound far-fetched that would happen, but... why didn't you go to the police instead of going to your Pilates class?
Well, she was scared.
Right.
She was scared.
But, I mean, you could have taken an extra 30 seconds and called the police.
When you call the police, what are they going to do?
What do you mean? Well, they're going to talk to you.
I've heard about death threats. Uh-huh. And when this was a death threat, wasn't it?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. She said, this person said
something about
said to the child, wouldn't it be awful if this beautiful child...
didn't have a mother anymore or something.
But when you call the police, I think all they do is write it down.
Yeah. Well, I would assume on something to this level that they may have sent an officer out to at least talk to her face-to-face.
Well, yeah, I think that happens, but did she know who the guy was?
Right, that's the part that I don't understand is you didn't call the police and you don't, you know, if you know, you haven't said what the guy looks like.
But do you think this guy really was going to knock her off? See, I just don't think, because the insinuation is that Trump and his attorney were going to have her knocked off if she didn't keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that. I think people say stuff like that all the time and don't mean it.
Yeah, well, especially you hear it a lot of times in these high-profile cases like this. You hear that a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't see it.
Yeah, there's just to me, there's just a few parts missing in this puzzle. I mean, you know, that I don't
think that the woman was going to be killed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how many women have said they've had affairs with Donald Trump?
Right. Well, then the second thing, you know, where'd the $130,000 number come from? Her or
I think she was offered it by this attorney.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, was it? Is it just?
But you didn't like that she got hush money.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's all right, but I don't know.
Well, now he's suing her.
Yeah, for breach of contract or whatever. See, that's the only part I don't understand is that I thought when you entered into contract with these guys that meant that you had to be quiet.
Yeah, but isn't that illegal?
I have a relative that works for an attorney, and I asked her if it was illegal, and she says no.
Okay, so I could right now buy your silence, and then if there's ever a case, my buying your silence holds up.
Yeah, as long as...
Well, then how does anybody ever go to jail? Why don't they just pay off the witnesses?
Well, I think there's a difference between like an actual what's that thing that they called an agreement and a contract.
Okay, what's the difference?
I think the difference is that an agreement means that, you know, the two parties, you know, have come together and mutually.
There's a difference between, okay, you come, okay, let's say we're going to work together.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want you spilling my secrets of how I run my business.
Uh-huh.
So I make you sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's different.
Right.
Because that precedes what I wasn't making you sign that. You were not forced into signing that. And I was not giving you any money to sign that because nothing had happened that we're trying to cover up.
Wasn't that what this was?
No. The affair between her and Donald Trump happened in 2006. The hush money was paid in 2016.
Right, but wasn't it an agreement based on
that? Yeah, but you're paying her for something you know happened. You're paying her to keep quiet 3 days before the election because you're afraid it could hurt you. You're not saying, well, if anything happens from here on out, you know, you're not going to spill my how I make the chicken. This is, I have done something that's going to make me look very bad in an election where people are going to vote one of us in. Mm-hmm. Here's some money. Don't talk.
Well, I think that might be the deciding factor, is that once you agree to take that money, then that kind of supersedes the whole...
But, okay, but who leaked that? They had she'd already told the story to In Touch magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what got the ball rolling, but then that's what I think...
Okay, but here's the problem. Donald Trump came out and said it didn't happen. So if it didn't happen, why'd he pay hush money?
Well... according to the attorney for his attorney, he said that it happens a lot of times in these things to protect business and relationships and things like that.
Okay, well, why didn't he pay it when In Touch magazine came out with it? Why did he wait until 3 days before the election?
My guess would be, obviously, he thought it was going to hurt him during...
Well, listen, we have campaign finance laws, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And... do you really think that they did not give her the money to keep her quiet before the election?
Oh, certainly. I mean,
okay, so they had an ulterior motive.
But did the money come out of his campaign finance? Because according to the lawyer, he took out a home equity loan.
Right, but the campaign finance attorney says that this clearly was done to help President Trump, so it is seen as a donation to his campaign because it was done to help his campaign to stop something that was going to hurt his campaign.
Right.
And you're not allowed to donate that much money. No single person is allowed to make a donation of that size.
Hmm. Well, because I know the big argument is the entity, the EEC or LL, whatever.
Right, but again...
Because he didn't sign under the DD line.
Why do you pay hush money for something that didn't happen? Because now listen, now your argument's valid, but didn't the Access Hollywood tape already come out by this point?
Absolutely.
Hadn't like 13 women already accused him of not an affair but sexual assault? So why pay this one woman mm-hmm. and not these other 13?
Well, was it maybe because the one woman came out during, you know, 3 days before the election?
Well, I don't know. So, again, you're doing it for a singular purpose. You're doing it to benefit your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
which you cannot do.
Right. Like I say, I don't know a lot about the law. I just, you know, I've just been watching lately. And
does Donald Trump email? I don't like hush agreements. I think the offerment of a hush agreement is in a way a sign of guilt.
Guilty, yeah, sure.
So I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because you are trying to hide your guiltiness.
Yeah. But then, on the same time, how many times, though, do you see when this happens and people agree to this, that then they go down the line and then they profit, like on a book or things like that? Or,
that's fine.
You know.
I'll tell you why that's fine. Because in this, let's say this Stormy Daniels woman, okay, you know what? It takes two to tango.
Mm-hmm.
Trump didn't have to do it.
Right.
And people don't have to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. If a publisher wants to pay it because people want to read it, that's commerce.
Mm-hmm.
But to cover something up because you know it's detrimental.
Well, I mean, is it the same thing? And maybe it's a bad analogy, but is it the same thing like the cops that, you know, wrongfully? I mean, you know, they paid that they know that they commit that they know they were wrong, so they're giving the family money to.
Well, it's not coming out of their own pocket,
right? And I mean, neither did this come out of You see what I'm saying? I mean,
I don't know that.
Well, I don't either. I just know what the guys.
But the cops have already been proven guilty. That's why the state's paying them.
Well, I think in this sense, I mean, if you put two and two together, you know Trump is obviously guilty.
Well, I don't know that. I haven't seen the pictures.
Well,
I don't want to see the pictures.
I don't either, but I'm just, you know.
You know what? This is more confusing than Chinese algebra, as they say. So we're going to take a break here, but we'll be back in 2 seconds before Who Flung the Chung. I'll be back here on WWGH Radio.
Like China. The list goes on. I'm just sick and tired of walking up to little children and them being clueless without a PC.
WWO Marion, Ohio.